Sports Talk. Power. 91.3 FM. 91.3 FM.
Get interactive with Power FM on WhatsApp. Get interactive with Power FM on WhatsApp. 0955-997-997. Power FM. We are Lusaka's number one.
Power. Music. Power.
I'm here to tell the story. Gana Lusanya told you for the Balandele Langa for my delegate.
Power.
Has arrived in your town. New source of energy has arrived in your town. Power. 91.3 FM. 91.3 FM. Bringing you hot off the press news from Lusaka, Artabwe, Livingstone, and Copperbelt News Bureau. The Power FM News. FM News.
Investigations begin into alleged disappearance of Tufan University money. Socialist Party President criticizes government over high cost of living. In international news, UN launches the $852 million aid plan for Somalia amid deepening crisis. In sports, Senegalese PM Ousmane Sonko dismisses AFCON tensions with Morocco.
And now, the Power FM News.
To present the lunchtime news, my name is Viola Chuma. Government has launched investigations into the alleged disappearance of funds meant for the construction of Ntupa University in Northern Province. Finance and National Planning Minister Stumbeko Musokotwane disclosed that this in Kasama after touring the proposed university site in Lukasha constituency. Dr. Musokotwane expressed concern that nearly 10 years after the project was launched, there is no meaningful development at the site. He said he was shocked to find that only a small wall had been constructed on the land earmarked for the institution. According to a statement issued by the Northern Province Principal Public Relations Officer, Sandra Mulenga, Dr. Musokotwane noted that Ntupa University was initiated in 2017 by the previous government on about 400 hectares of land, but construction stalled the following year without explanation. He said the government will now engage investigative agencies to establish how much funding was released and to identify the contractors involved. Dr. Musokotwane criticized the alleged mismanagement of public funds, saying it is unacceptable for resources meant for national development to be diverted, stressing the need for integrity, accountability, and collective responsibility in safeguarding public finances. In another development, Socialist Party President Dr. Fred Membe has criticized the government's handling of the high cost of living, saying the impact on ordinary Zambians is being ignored and in practical terms. Dr. Membe says calls for action on rising living costs are often dismissed as politically motivated instead of being addressed objectively. He argues that Zambia's economic challenges are worsened by the depreciation of the kwacha, noting that the country is highly import-dependent. According to Dr. Membe, converting local salaries into United States dollars clearly shows why many households are struggling to meet basic needs. Dr. Membe has further cautioned government against continued heavy external borrowing, calling for greater focus on domestic revenue mobilization through industrialization. He also dismissed claims that tax incentives are the main driver of foreign direct investment, saying investors are more attracted by good infrastructure, reliable electricity, quality education and health services, political stability and safety. In other news, aspiring Member of Parliament for Kanyama constituency, Nalishe Wonyambe, has called for stronger collaboration between government and private companies to address persistent flooding and poor service delivery in the area. speaking on the current flood situation in Chinika Ward 11, an industrial zone that hosts major companies such as Zambian Breweries and Trade Kings, Ms. Nyambe questioned why the constituency continues to struggle with healthcare, road infrastructure and water supply despite its contribution to national revenue. She said flooding in Kanyama has been a long-standing problem dating back to the 1970s and has once again displaced families and damaged roads following continuous rainfall. She noted that Kanyama is a low-lying area that receives runoff water from other parts of Lusaka, making it vulnerable to floods, and warned that fully reconstructing the drainage system would require huge financial resources. She has therefore appealed to government to partner with private businesses operating within the constituency, saying public-private collaboration could help improve road networks, drainage systems and health facilities. Ms. Nyambe also expressed concern over pressure on the health system, citing a rapidly growing population and high birth rate in Kanyama, and called for improved antenatal services to meet the rising demand. She said meaningful development in Kanyama will only be achieved through joint efforts between government, the private sector and the community.
Kanyama is, Outek Chinika Ward is an industrialized area. It's just an industry. We have the big boys that I like to call Zambian Breweries and Trade Kings. They are in our constituency and those are bringing so much revenue in the country. So why should a constituency that makes so much money on a daily basis still struggle with things such as healthcare, roads, lack of water? The government, if they cannot take us there, they can meet us halfway, but it is time to collaborate now with the private stakeholders and the business people. We thank Zambian Breweries and Trade Kings for what they're doing already in our community, but I feel like if we engage more business people that are in our constituency to come on board, we can work on the drainages. It has been terrible since the 1970s.
In another development, a Democratic Union leader has called on government to abandon threats and instead empower local miners as a lasting solution to illegal mining. Speaking in response to recent remarks by the Zambia Army commander on illegal mining, the opposition leader, Akin Ndovu, said government must take full responsibility for the problem, arguing that it has failed to address concerns in the mining sector. He said the current administration made several promises to illegal miners when it was in opposition, but has not fulfilled them since forming government. He noted that while the army's intention to protect national resources may be well-meaning, the use of threats is not a permanent solution. He warned that harsh measures could result in foreigners taking over mining areas, leaving local people excluded from benefiting from Zambia's natural resources. He emphasized that Zambians have the capacity to manage and benefit their own mines and questioned the government's continued preference for foreign participation at the expense of citizens. He urged government to support small-scale miners through formalization, access to resources, and improved markets.
Instead of issuing threats like the army commander did, we should focus on addressing illegal mining activities with permanent solutions. Though the intention by the army might be good, my worry is that Zambians will continue suffering as we are likely to see foreigners being engaged to conduct mining activities in those areas at the expense of local people. Zambians have the capacity to run these mines and get the benefits, so I fail to understand government's appetite for wanting foreigners to get our resources while our people remain suffering. In this regard, I once again call for local participation in the mining industry because Zambians should benefit more from their natural resources. Instead of threatening to exterminate, we need to find ways of supporting small-scale miners and advocating for their formalization and access to better resources and markets.
In international news, at Monday's briefing, United Nations spokesperson Stéphane Dujarric announced the launch of an $852 million humanitarian needs and response plan for Somalia, which he said is 40% less than last year and aims to support 2.4 million people. Dujarric stressed that the reduction in funding is due to constrained resources, not reduced humanitarian needs.